Hi, I'm Daniel, and before the episode starts, I want to briefly talk to you about the Garden Outreach Project, a WCF program focused on putting faith into action. Our mission is to inspire and support Christadelphians in North America to share Christ's love through outreach initiatives. This is done by facilitating national and local outreach activities, supplying resources, and providing funds to help brothers and sisters serve those in need. For example, in 2020, over 40 ecclesial groups participated in our Bags of Love initiative, which saw over 800 sleeping bags distributed to shelters and those without a home. If you, your ecclesia, or CYC want to learn more and get involved with our latest initiative, please visit our website at www.thegardenoutreach.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Garden Outreach for the latest news and encouragement. And now, here's the show.
Welcome back to Little Faith. I'm here with Matt Colby. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, Levi. I'm doing really good.
It's a treat to talk to you. You and I have known each other a very long time. We've been in each other's weddings and everything. So I'm excited to talk to you about parenting and what we've learned over the last few months.
Yeah. Oh man, what a crazy few months.
Yeah, it has been. And for context, if anyone who's never met you, you're in Ontario, Canada. So you have had obviously a different experience, at least starting that way, just because it's been very different. I would say like now is very different, I guess. Like the first year was very different, but the last 6 months has been different between the two of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while. And our families got together just like before the pandemic, like the Christmas holiday right before the pandemic. Our kids were playing together. It was really nice. And that was like one of the last big vacations that we went on before everything changed.
Yeah. And so you have two kids. How old are the boys now?
Yeah, Jack and Jude. Jack is 4. Jude is 2. And they're very different from each other, but they're both a handful. Like they're both kind of fearless explorers, and they have this very intense relationship with each other. So they're either mortal enemies or they're best friends at any given time. And it can change on a dime. But Jack is very bold and just charges right in, very intense. And Jude is more introspective and just watches what happens to Jack and then comes in with a safer approach. But yeah, they're a ton of fun. And also I'm sure they've taken like a decade off the end of my life.
Yeah. So that's the fun thing when our families are together, because Pippa's in between them. She's a few months older than Jude, but really just a few. She just had her 3rd birthday and his is coming up in August.
Yeah, that's right. I think the single biggest challenge was virtual school for Jack. Like Jack had just in September started his first year of kindergarten. He's in JK. And it's so weird. His whole reality, he thinks that going to school means wearing a mask. It's never been anything else for him. Because from the very beginning, when he first went, that's when he had to start wearing a mask every day. And it was also really nice for Carmel and I to get some one-on-one time with Jude, because you put the two of them together and it's a very different dynamic. But all of a sudden, Jude, who was the younger one who'd never gotten this dedicated time, he was getting this time to grow his relationship with us, and we were getting this peaceful time with him. And then at a certain point, Jack had to learn from home, and that became very stressful, especially for Carmel, to try to keep Jack paying attention to a teacher on a screen and also keep Jude pacified and happy and when he's crawling all over her and wants her attention. And I think at the same time, Carmel has really benefited from having a therapist. But at the time, right, coinciding with that time, her therapist went on maternity leave, who, if you have a relationship with a therapist, it's, I think, very hard to transition, somebody who knows you and everything about you. And at the time when she needed it the most, she all of a sudden lost that touch point.
Oh, no.
It became very difficult. And everything That just has a domino effect on everything. Like our relationship became more difficult and everybody's on edge. And she really bore that burden a lot more than I did. And I would do my best. You know, I work from home and I'd be able to come up and watch the kids sometimes, but not all the time. And by the right. time I came up at the end of the day, like she was just emotionally spent. And then she'd used all her energy keeping it together and would be like, that's it. I've got nothing left. And that's been tough. And that's still going on right now. And Jack's got one week of school left and they never went back here in Ontario. They never went back. So for us, that's been the toughest part, I think.
Yeah, that was on my list here to ask you what's been the hardest part. So I think I've been so thankful that Pippa's not been old enough to have to manage a remote education. That's been such a challenge for so many families because I just think it's just a very rare kid that's going to excel in that format. And it's so draining from the parent. That's a big macro point, but I think everybody's learned like the real primary purpose of like public education is actually childcare. Like far and away, everybody's said that the secondary purpose is actually educating kids. That is such an incredible challenge. What was hard is, because I'd be in the same boat. I feel like when I was done working, I would come out of the office and then there's a lot of pressure to take over for a while to give Jess a break, which I think is, you know, maybe always true, even in normal times. But now that we're a lot more opened up and Jess and Pippa have a lot more activities out of the house. She comes back to the house and Jess actually has more energy because she's not just been in the house all day. Right. Like it was just the three of us all day in the house, it gets to be 4 o'clock and I come out of the office. She's done. Like she's played every trick in her bag to hang out with Pippa. So.
Yeah. Do you have, I don't know if you have, again, I've spent time with Pippa and she's so amazing and so well-behaved. It was such an eye-opener to me to be like, oh, some kids are very different from my kids. But like we have this good cop problem where Carmel has had to be the bad cop over and over again. She feels like that. And she has had to be that person all day. The kids, we've started to see them, I think, see the effects of this being shut in as well. When we're able to get back together with people, just the pure exhilaration on our kids' faces as they're just like running around with other kids and stuff. But the frustration at home and our kids and Jack especially has been really getting on edge and yelling more than he used to. And Carmel having to try to have model behavior for him and set those boundaries for him. And she has to be the bad cop all day. And then I come up from work. And of course I miss them because I haven't had to do that all day. So I come up right. and I'm so happy to see them. And I'm the good cop. And I come in and I'm just a hero because I haven't had to deal with them all day. And she's not the kind of mom to say, when your dad comes, you're going to regret it. It's kind of that old school right. parenting style. She just doesn't put that on me. She deals with it in the moment. But then we've got this good cop, bad cop problem. I'm always the good cop and she's always the bad cop. And that's something I've tried to change. Like if I come up and I sense the vibe, this like it's on edge, then maybe I try not to be the good cop so much. I try to get right into that. Okay, I got it.
What was the problem here? Yeah, let me get on the case. Yeah,
let me help establish the boundaries.
I think the weekends I take over like the primary care role a lot more than I think we expected. And I think again, it's so hard to tell. I mean, so much of my parenting experience is in pandemic times, right? So I don't know if that would have happened. Saturdays would have been my day outside of the pandemic as well. But like Jess is just so, you know, has not had any time to do like computer stuff, like answer emails or catch up on her even texting on her phone. And so I like tap in and I have noticed that then like that's the day that eventually Pip is like pretty excited to see her mom. Instead, it's kind of like the role reversal goes through. I feel like I have a good day because like I know that what I struggle with is like feeling like it's just been constant for 3 years. Am I even a capable parent? Which is funny. like I trust Jess so extremely because she's a fantastic mom. And she like literally went to school for early childhood development as a teacher. Like she's got a great mom resume, period. And I'm like, can I even manage a whole day by myself? You know, it's an insecurity. But so I actually look forward to the weekends, because then I actually, it's gratifying to me to be able to spend a whole day with her and then feel like, oh, I am pretty good at this.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Yeah. You were good at it. I've seen you in action. I remember when we stayed with you, I don't know if you still do this, but you get up with Pippa every morning at 6 a.m. and you have one of those like three-wheeled running strollers and put her in there and just go for a run. I don't know, for half an hour or something.
Every morning. We still run sometimes. She's less into it, but I'd like bribe her into the running stroller with snacks now, which is funny, but
she's so cute in there. She's like a princess in there. She's like, all right, now run for me. I like to feel the breeze. Go faster.
She likes it. She gets into like a zen place. It's kind of funny. She'll be talking to me or something, and then eventually she kind of slips into this like just chilled out mode when you're running, which I think has been really interesting.
That is something that Carmel and I have found really helps, especially now, is the exercising. And Carmel pushed me into it. I'd always been a casual runner, but she for a long time has had an exercise routine, and she's like, I want you to do this with me. And so we've got this routine now where a few days a week, every single day of the week except for Sunday, one of us gets up and does like an exercise routine at home while the other one goes for a run. And we can switch back and forth. And the person who goes for the run has to get up a little bit earlier, but the person who stays home has to live with Jack when he gets up at 6 a.m., you know, exercise while what Jack will basically, he'll walk into the room while we're doing an exercise routine. Like he's one of those clocks that turns green when it's okay for him to get up. Cause he even gets up earlier than that, but he sits in his room until the light turns green on his clock. And then he sort of strolls into the room as I'm exercising and talking to Jack. It's like plugging into his stream of consciousness, you know, it's like a hitchhiker getting picked up, and you got to kind of directly connect to his train of thought and catch up. he's not going to ease you in, like wherever he is in his thought process, he's just going to pull you right in.
Right. So yes, that exercise routine is so key. It's just really critical to make that time and get outside when you can.
Yeah, like it gets rid of all that, those jitters you get from being inside. And I think it's helped both of us in the mental health department when we needed it a lot.
Yeah.
Through the pandemic has taught me a number of important things. Number one, mental health care is real and very important for everyone. For my 6-year-old enjoying her quiet time by phonetically writing stories in her room, to my wife and I both regularly talking to a remote therapist, everyone needs to find tools to help calm and center themselves. My wife has been an amazing teacher, playmate, and chef for our children this year, and I have struggled to learn that sometimes an evening doing nothing and doing it alone is more important than constantly working on projects. Number two, I have learned that routine is important. In 2020, we read over 300 books to the kids, mostly library books. The structure of reading a story before bed greatly helped the kids in settling down for the night and was something to look forward to. Number three, I have learned that one-on-one time is necessary for both parents and kids. Just a quiet evening for my wife and I watching the Great British Bake Off, or spending a Saturday afternoon with one of our kids exploring a local Civil War battlefield, helps settle our nerves and strengthen bonds. I was able to start teaching our kids how to play the piano this year, and their individual lessons for 20 minutes every week was so beneficial for them and for me. Hearing their progress and pride when they learned new music brought such joy to my heart. And finally, number four, I learned that working through disputes as parents is always difficult. We had to learn together, agree on child discipline, resolve frustrations, decide who's cleaning the kitchen, and remember to encourage and show our love to each other daily, all while spending nearly every waking minute within earshot. Parenting through the pandemic taught me that creating bonds with my children and spouse is so important. It's the day-in, day-out interactions that make you who you are. From playing Little Bear board games to participating in a rousing round of sneak and peek, it's these memories that will last. I learned that with the right spiritual, physical, and mental tools, you can build a strong family no matter the circumstances.
What are some highlights of the last year and a half, like caused by the pandemic?
Oh, man. We've gotten a lot more time, like one-on-one time with our kids than we might have otherwise. We've had to really face, I think, some challenges head on that might not have emerged in the way that they had without the pandemic. And Jack and Jude and their relationship, like our kids and their relationship with each other, they've really just had each other at a time when they really are craving interaction with their peers, with kids their own age. As turbulent as the relationship is, they're best friends. And
interesting.
We've been along for the ride because, you know, we've all been in this house, you know, just sailing along together in isolation. And so it's been like very emotional and stressful and taxing. And I think really positive at the same time, seeing that sort of relationship between our kids blossom and being right in the middle of it. In a different year, a non-pandemic year, we would have been out of the house so much and wouldn't have been forced to do that. And we would have, there would have been highlights to that as well. But yeah, I think it in that way, it's brought us together and made us closer.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I think the time has been a blessing, just like recognizing how busy we are normally. I like what you said, that there still would have been special times under a normal schedule. There's a park near our house, the park that's down the street, and there's a big field there. And for the first couple of months, the playground equipment was actually closed.
Yeah.
Which was that like probably Pippa's only real hardship during the pandemic.
Right.
But there was a couple times I convinced her, like we got in this little run where I would say, hey, let's go and just run in the field. And we'd go up there and take our shoes off and just run around in circles. And I laugh at that memory because it's like, I literally got to like frolic in the field, like with my 2-year-old daughter. That was like our actual activity. And I wonder if in some ways my like relationship with my daughter is peaked like during the pandemic, or like we just had, you know, a really, really, really lovely moment or times as well.
Yeah, I love that. And again, a moment that was created by the situation that you would have been doing something else, but you had to, that was an escape. It was an escape that you saw and you took it together.
Yeah. Interesting.
Pretty fun.
Yeah. But
our kids are like constantly pushing against the boundaries as kids will do. It feels like our kids to it more than most, especially Jack at this age. And you get this sense that he needs to find a boundary, right? Like he gets upset if we don't put that boundary down and be like, no, okay, you've reached the point where you've got to go sit in a timeout or something like that. But this, I think the pandemic has added like a real physical boundary to that list of boundaries, you know, like our yard and our house is now a real physical boundary, and more he's pushing out against it. There's a passage in the New Testament at the end of Galatians 3. You'll recognize it. It's Paul talks about the purpose of the law in the Old Testament. He says the law was our guardian until Christ came, and then now faith has come, and we're no longer under a guardian. And that guardian is it was actually a cultural thing. The word means like it was a family slave at the time who was responsible for the education of a child. And that slave would be responsible for making sure that they went to their classes and did their studies and came home and did their homework. And it was responsible for that child right up until the point where that child, and usually in this culture, it was a boy, that until the boy became a man. And as soon as that happened, the child no longer had to follow the rules of that. The slave no longer had any power over him, but right up until that point, he had to follow those rules. And Paul describes God as a father in so many places. In this place, when he uses that example, it's almost like he's talking about all of humanity. And humanity was like this child growing up throughout history, throughout hundreds of years, until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, that was the point when we were supposed to have grown up. Like all this time, we're like children growing up and generation by generation, God slowly revealing a little bit more of himself to us because we're not capable of taking it all in at once and understanding it all, to the point where Jesus came. And this is when we become mature and when we grow up. and we don't need those boundaries anymore. But as a whole species, the whole human race, God sees us like one child growing up. And there comes a point when we don't have to follow those rules anymore, because the whole point was that law, those boundaries that we give our kids, it's just to lay a foundation for a life where you know how to make good decisions. And then when the kid right. leaves the house, you hope that you've laid that foundation so they're going to go out and make good decisions. You know, they don't have to stay within those boundaries that you set for them anymore, but you've taught them right from wrong. You've given them the tools to make it on their own. And
yep.
I feel like the kind of the pandemic has, in a very physical way for kids, you know, as for us who are parents, is made it so much more obvious. Those, you know, it's put a boundary in that we can't cross, a real physical boundary.
Yeah, that's a fascinating kind of concept. I think that I've been thinking so much about this, and I think this is just a general kind of parenting lesson. You also have to be firm, and you have to have this discipline side, but that stops at some point. And that's interesting. Like, this is only a period of time. And that's what you're saying. It stops at the same time. Like, at some point you have to stop disciplining your kids. And we're years away from this, right? But like the relationship has to switch to one of only love and respect that, you know, that your kid feels for you. And that's the only reason they would listen to you. I included this in an exhortation, like it wasn't last year. So it was right before the pandemic, but because I was actually thinking about my relationship with my father. And I made up this example, like, actually he did. He called me one day and asked me to come over and help him move an exercise bike. And I said, yes, like gladly, I'll be over there. And I remember on the drive over thinking it would have been funny if I said no. And then he was like, I'm going to spank you. because my parents spanked us when we were growing up. And that was what they did. And I was one of the kids that like, I probably got spanked twice because I hated it and reacted. I was just so afraid of it. Whatever, and I adjust it that way. It's an immature relationship that we have with God if we're still following him out of fear. And I want to have, and like, but this is the right relationship with Pippa, that she knows I love her, but also has that quote unquote fear. And right. Thankfully, we actually haven't spanked Pippa yet. We haven't had to, like, she responds to other discipline tactics. But still, we take things away or we put her in timeout or whatever, and she cries and is sad or whatever. But like, she has to respond to that. Eventually it grows to this place where you just have to let him go. And the relationship can only come out of love, which is a really fascinating type for us, I think.
Yeah.
Becoming a dad during the pandemic has taught me more than I could ever hope to distill into one soundbite, but something that I've reflected on is the beauty of the slowness the pandemic lifestyle brings. Because of lockdown, I was able to have extra time at home with my wife and extra time with my son. I learned how to appreciate my chores as time for self-care and opportunities to think. I learned how, even in the slowness, the precious time with your little one evaporates as fast as ever. And finally, one surprising angle of becoming a dad in the pandemic is my relationship with work. As an educator, so many of my colleagues struggled almost immediately with their sense of purpose in trying to teach online. I didn't really have a chance to experience that. Becoming a dad instantly flipped the switch in my identity from educator to father, and finding meaning in my profession hardly entered my mind anymore. Being a dad became everything.
I've heard other parents say it, but like when you become a parent, probably almost right away, you know, like maybe the day your first child is born, you feel this way. I probably did. But you realize, and there's probably an instant that you would do anything for yeah. your child, and there's nothing they could do that you wouldn't stop loving them yep. because they did it. You would forgive them for anything. And probably if you have faith in a creator God, you know, that and the Bible, it describes God as a father in so many places, then you realize in that moment that I'm not a better father than God is. Right. And so God feels the same way about us. And that's pretty powerful, that realization.
Very powerful. Yeah. I mean, I actually was thinking about New every morning, because when we put Pippa to bed and I'll miss her like an hour later. And to me, that actually reminds me of that New every morning is the love. That's a line from a hymn. And it is funny. I get so excited when she wakes up every morning, even if she was like a beast the day before. Like it doesn't, it's yes. just, our love yeah. is like, our love for them is like totally renewed. And that's like a fascinating thing. It is like having an infinite source of something.
I totally know what you're talking about.
I just wish it like, was also infinite energy.
Yeah, that's the real problem.
That's the real issue.
Like Carmel and I, if I'm just being completely honest, we are just so much looking forward to bedtime. And then yep. the couple hours after bedtime where we can just hang out or do our own yep. thing. We look forward to that because we're deprived of it so much. But there have been so many times where it's like 9 o'clock and the kids have been in bed for a little while. And so we'll like just start talking about something they did that day and laughing about it and then just say, oh, I miss them. Like,
yeah,
already so we just want to get them back out and play with them or go cuddle with them. And it's yeah, like you said, the day might have been awful. Like they might have just like really put us to the test that day.
Yeah. That's clearly a God thing, having that, you know, infinite love feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something I ever knew I had to tap into before until it was there. All of a sudden it was there. Like I know just about every kid would kind of wears their heart on their sleeve, and it can be really, really endearing. And then it can make you want to tear your hair out, because when they get upset over the most ridiculous things. It was a revelation to me that children feel emotions every bit as strongly as we do. And just because you might think the reasons for their emotions are silly, it shouldn't lead you to think that their feelings are any less valid or less impactful or important. And it's humbling to realize that, I don't know, I think subconsciously, I think I'm stressed out and angry for valid reasons, but you're angry and stressed out for silly reasons. But then if I just pull up to see the whole forest, it's no, actually, if you put it all in perspective, everything I'm angry and stressed out about is probably just as silly as the stuff that you're angry and stressed out about. And then again, that's probably how God sees us, right?
Yeah.
So take it easy. It's all going to work out. But put in that perspective too, it's like, so sometimes I just get so angry and frustrated when my kids are angry and frustrated. I just tap right into that rage and I'm like, enough, just stop, just be quiet, sit in your timeout. But those feelings that, you know, they're just every bit as valid as my feelings. The reasons don't really matter. The feelings are just as valid.
Yeah.
And it's got to be how God sees us, you know?
That's true. Yeah. And I had not thought about that before, that he doesn't trivialize how we're feeling. Like I do trivialize how Pippa's feeling, but I'm more like just feel sorry that she's feeling that. I'm like, man, I'm really sorry. You're so frustrated right now. Like it's a bummer. Yeah. I totally agree with you that I trivialize that. And that's fascinating. I'm going to keep thinking about that God probably doesn't do that to us. You know, like that's what it's like at the end in Jonah 4, when he's just what, you know, like your plan is so stupid. You know?
Like, right.
Like, this plan is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's just,
Yeah, that's a good example. I think one thing I really struggle with, and I, having seen you in action, I think you're probably better at this than I am, because I think you're quite good at multitasking. I'm quite bad at it. But I think it's really important to try to be present with your kids, if you know what I mean. And I'm so bad at it. And they are constantly want to talk about everything. Like it's just, especially Jack, like I said earlier, it's just like a constant, this is a stream of consciousness with him. He's talking nonstop. And when I'm around them, I try to keep my phone in my pocket as much as I can.
Right.
And when I'm doing a bad job of paying attention, and I know it's like a lot of times I don't know it, but when I can see that I'm failing, then sometimes I'll just make myself like physically bend down and get on their level and look them in the eyes and be like, okay, wait, okay, say that again. Like I was not paying attention because you've been talking nonstop for the last hour. But yeah, that's something I really struggle with, is just staying present with them and being present with them. And I feel like they really need it, but I really struggle with it. I don't know if you, I know you're better at this than I am. I don't know if you have any secrets.
That's been a conversation for me too, because like I find the phone, yes, I can multitask and like think about more things at once. And like, I have no problem answering her when I'm also looking at my phone, which is different than like Jess. Jess can't do those two things at once. But I mean, my problem is I'm a multitasker because I live in like constant fear of missing out on anything else. And it's like, what I've had to work on is like being present is the most important thing that I'm doing. It's like, I miss her when I'm not with her. And then when I'm with her, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do after I'm with her. And that's like kind of silly. Like I should figure out how to be more present. And that's like mindfulness and just kind of, I'm still working on how you practically improve that characteristic, you know, besides just being aware of it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
In response to the question, what has parenting through a pandemic taught you? Honestly, the first thing that I believe it taught me is to appreciate my wife and what an amazing job that she does with managing both her job and supporting the three boys and keeping everything going through everything that happened during the pandemic. Most of my contributions, I feel like, was investing in a good pair of noise-canceling headphones so that I was not driven crazy and causing more stress for her and trying to help her as much as I could whenever I wasn't tied up with work. But in all seriousness, what I feel like we learned together as a family, what I learned through parenting through the pandemic, was to slow down and enjoy the time that we had together. At the start of the pandemic, when everything went into lockdown, I know one of the things that we all seemed to kind of take a collective deep breath, and I remember we all slept a lot. Even the kids, who normally are running around being crazy all the time, just wanted to lay around and not do anything. As we sort of realized that our balance between social activities, serving in the ecclesia, and family time had all kind of gotten a little out of whack, where we'd swung to one of too many extremes. And as we've been coming out of the pandemic, it's been something that Kristen and I have been very conscious of, is making sure to have a balance where we still want to serve and still want to help out in our ecclesia and do things and spend time with friends and socialize, but also to make sure that that is balanced with having time where we're just at home together as a family, to be able to enjoy that sort of nuclear family time. And then ultimately it was just to have patience with each other. You know, especially when you're in lockdown and you're stuck in your house together, it can be challenging sometimes when you're just with the same people every day, but just to remember to have that patience. And that's not just with my wife, but also with the kids, and with the boys, to be able to listen to them and work with them and talk to them and hear what they're saying and have them, as they're getting older, to be able to hear what we're talking about, to be able to have that patience with each other, just to be able to rely on each other and work together through any challenges that may come up. I know in some ways it wasn't the case for everybody through the pandemic, but for our family, we actually found the time together as a family to be a bit of a blessing, to allow us that time to reset and refocus, and kind of remind us where our priorities should be, and not to let things get skewed out of whack. So that was what we learned through parenting through a pandemic.
I remember the last time our family got together, and Jack still does this thing where he will ask the same question over and over again because he's not getting the answer he wants. And so he'll just keep asking the same question, can I have a cookie after dinner? And I'll be like, yes. He just wants confirmation. Jack always knows what he wants. He always knows exactly what he wants, and he doesn't care about anything else. He wants to do that thing. And it's not usually what we want him to be doing. But we try as much as possible to, whenever we can, let him do that thing. Right, let him be independent. Let him drive. And of course, a lot of the time we don't. But anytime it makes sense, we try to let him. But it's one of the hardest things about parenting him is that the first time we took him to the beach, he was sure he hated the beach. And we had to drag him kicking and screaming into the water. And then kicking and screaming, hold him in the water with all these other parents around. This was pre-COVID, until he realized, I love the beach. And then he was just, it's just like pure raw joy. He's just like screaming with joy at the beach for hours. And then we have to go. And then it's the same agony all over again, getting him off the beach. He's so focused, like the one thing he wants. And the one thing then he wanted was to stay at the beach. And before, he was so sure that the one thing he hated was being at the beach. And this happens time and time again. He will change his mind about something, and then that one thing will become his sole focus, and nothing else matters. And you cannot convince him otherwise. And that usually is the cause of the most chaos with him. Whereas as Jude is more relaxed, you can it's bring surface, him into a situation and he'll adapt to it and be happy in a lot of different ways. But he's a mirror of Jack too. So if Jack's doing it, then he wants to do it.
Yeah, Jack's fascinating, just his principles. Like, he is a real warrior. I know that from hanging out. Like, he believes in something and then that is it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's a passionate guy.
Yeah. And there's a real solidarity between him and Jude. And it will unite them and divide them, because Jude will be like, whatever it is Jack wants to do, Jude wants to do it. But it might be that it's just the one toy that Jack wants to play with. Forget it. And so, you knowing Jack and Jude, like, Jack's a pretty solidly built, and Jude is pretty small. But when you, like, Jude is fearless, and he will, it's like watching if you've ever watched a cat dominate a dog, have you ever seen like a cat sit up on a table and just keep smacking a dog in the face when it jumps up to bark? It's like watching Jude and Jack. Like, Jude is just fearless in the face of Jack, and he fights smarter and will, like, when he wants something, he'll just go for it and he'll take Jack on head on, which I should probably parent him harder about it, but part of me is just proud. I think if we can just steer them in the direction of wanting to look like God, because it's as simple as that, like,
yeah,
instilling that one sort of theme in both of them, that through line, if we can get them on the same page, you know, especially now in these early days, when if Jack does something, Jude wants to do it too. If we can get him focused on being kind, then Jude's right there with him. And right now, that seems to be the key. I'm sure there'll be a day when Jude wants to be nothing like Jack. But right now, that seems to be the key to, like, we get one of them. If we can model this one godly trait for them and then get Jack to take it on, then Jude will do the same thing. Like, he will model, Jack will be his model.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, we have such a responsibility. I think about it all the time, just like to make them kind. Kindness is one of my goals. Kindness and confidence. My two goals for Pippa. Like, how do you, but kindness, especially, I mean, you have to teach and model. You already said the word modeling. You have to do it for them to imitate it.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I've been looking forward to the pandemic ending and restrictions loosening, because you really need more people in their life for them to model, for them to, you know, use these behaviors on. That's a funny thing. Like, there's only so many times you can tell Jack to be kind to Jude. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. You need more live test cases.
That's right. And, you know, like, there's some things I'm just not very good at doing, like things I need to improve on. And I need another role model in there. That's right. He needs to see more examples from more people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Doing the right thing. Because some things I'm just not so good at, and Carmel's not so good at. And
I'm also saying that Jack needs more opportunities to do the right thing outside of your family, school and church and Sunday school and stuff. Like, that's interesting to me too.
Yeah. Yeah. We just went back to our church for the first time. There weren't that many people, because we have limited capacity. It has to be like 15% of the building capacity is allowed there right now. But there were a bunch of other kids that are his peers, that are his age. And like, just, but they really are a unit. But just seeing them, each of them kind of attaches to one particular older kid as well. And just seeing that happen is really special. Like, seeing them attach themselves to an older kid and follow them around. That's a powerful example too, I'm never going to have that kind of influence in that unique way as a cool older kid who's taking me under his or her wing, you know?
Yeah, so totally. There's people, like, that's one thing that's been interesting, is Pippa clearly attaches more to 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds than kids her age right now. I think that's just a, you know, time thing. Like, just three-year-olds aren't that good at entertaining each other. But yeah, that's just, so I'm so thankful for the families that we live near and that the kids that she has in her life that will hopefully be good examples.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's one of the big things they've been missing that I'm just so excited to get back to.
From church. Yeah.
Parenting during the last 2 years or so, which has been mostly that of the pandemic, has taught me that mental health is important, and without the kids being engaged, it's detrimental to whatever goal I might have had in mind. I look on them as being more of partners in moving them forward rather than simply being someone who may want to impose my will. And during this time, I've had to realize that trying to simply impose my will would be detrimental. As such, I had to be patient and wait for them to get it. I had to realize as well that I simply don't have all the answers. It's quite unprecedented, and there was no real manual for me to get through this period. As such, it was necessary to be more of an encourager, a guide, and work along with them to achieve goals rather than simply enforcing my will. Additionally, I had to also recognize that there were some areas where they knew what they needed to do, what they had to do, and I had to trust them somewhat while also keeping an eye. Another thing that I had to learn was that too much can be detrimental. I recognize that in doing multiple things, many things that I would have wanted to enforce in a non-pandemic period was simply not possible during this time. For example, we moved from not having much of a CYC in our meeting and not being able to attend any, or sometimes quite often the Wednesday night meetings, to becoming a case where getting to a point where everything was available right at the click of a button. And it didn't take long for the kids to be recognize that it was sometimes too much for them. And I had to learn that lesson as well. So I had to be prepared to work along with them and help them to get to the key things that were necessary rather than just everything that would have pleased me. So these are some of the lessons I learned during this period.
Having kids, everything changed. I was never like a kid person until I had my own. And now I just love being around kids. It's just refreshing to be around people that are just so genuinely being themselves. They don't hold anything back.
Yeah.
I wish we could be more like that. I feel like that's my goal, is just to be more vulnerable around people. Those are the most interesting people.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's like the honesty somehow.
Yeah.
I've been working on vulnerability with Pippa. Like, it's just interesting. It's only happened a couple of times, but like apologizing to her is interesting. Like when I've messed up or whatever, that's a really fascinating concept. Like just balancing the idea that you're human to your kids is, I don't know, but huge, critically important, and really part of the God conversation, because they need to learn that God is not me, you know, God's bigger than me as well. And that I'm serving God too. And that I mess up and I make mistakes in God's eyes as well. And I say, I'm sorry. And all this, it's, again, it's modeling, but it's just an interest. I don't think it's a standard. I don't know. It's not in my mind what like classical parenting is. Like you just never let them see you bleed, you know?
Yeah. That is very much classical parenting. But you're right. I love that. That's a being vulnerable is a really important part of modeling, and something that we don't always have to be just a stone wall with no emotions, and let them know why you're feeling the way you're feeling, and let them know when you make a mistake. And
I think an interesting thing too is that changing your mind. Like, this really blew my mind as a kid when my parents would tell me that they've changed their minds on things, which is like really important, because actually That's, which is funny because, like, especially with our young kids, it's, I've told you, no, I'm not going to change my mind. There's a healthiness, even though they're repeating the question, there is actually a healthiness to that, because you should be able to change your mind and not be afraid to change your mind, you know, and be open to changing your mind, I think, because that's healthy too. You're showing, you know, again, that you're not perfect. And like the first decision wasn't the best one. That's just a constant balance though. Like when should Pippa just accept that this is the answer, you know, and when should she work with me to help me change my mind?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't know, does Pippa ask you questions frequently that you really don't know the answer to? Like, you can't answer it well?
Not yet. Yeah.
I found that Jack's doing that all the time now. Like my cop-out answer might be, well, that's the way God made it. Right. As opposed to giving him a more nuanced answer to the question. But I'm trying to, as much as possible, just admit what I don't know, like when I don't know the answer, not just act like, well, I know everything, so I'll answer this question. But be like, I don't know. Or here's a possible answer, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you for your time. And we're going to ask some other dads, what have you learned about being a dad in the last 18 months?
Yeah.
The pandemic has highlighted just how blessed I am to have these kids even, and to have the houses that we have and the jobs that we have. Like, it's a challenge, and there's definitely been challenges, but I think it's so much easier for me to sit down to dinner and hold her hand and pray, thank you for the food, and just really be very thankful when I'm reading the news we were reading, and then just having the small problems, but really, you know, lovely experiences with her, and just living the life that we've been given. Just feel very blessed.
Yeah, I'm totally right there with you. I'm pretty introverted, but the pandemic has made me realize that I'm not like 100% introverted. And all the time these days, more frequently now than at the beginning of the pandemic, I'm just so glad that I have these kids here with me and all this love in our house. And yeah, I think it just makes us more aware of God's presence with us and what's really the most important thing that he's given us.